From the state capitol, WFSU Public Media brings you Capitol Report.
What lies ahead for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis?
All signs point to the fact that he's got his eye on 2028.
Also this week, another plan to search for fossil fuels in the delicate Apalachicola River Basin has opponents rushing to the barricades.
We can't have anything at this point that is going to hurt their ability to come back and feed their families.
We'll also check the status of the bill the legislature passed that allows the shooting of black bears by people who feel threatened by them. And we'll find out why so many South Florida firms are having trouble finding workers. I'm Tom Flanagan, online and on air. This is Capitol Report and the end of week wrap-up of top stories from Tallahassee. Governor Ron DeSantis' approval rating has fallen after his failed 2024 presidential run, but Tristan Wood reports experts say his diminished status likely won't negatively impact the Republican Party's hold on Florida.
DeSantis is the third least popular governor in America, according to a nationwide poll by the Morning Consult. While 51% of Floridians approve of the governor, that's short of the 59% of Floridians that voted for him in 2022. UCF political science professor Aubrey Jewett believes DeSantis' dip has to do with him pursuing red meat issues on the campaign trail during his failed 2024 presidential bid. He expects the governor's polling to stay around this point.
You know, all signs point to the fact that he's got his eye on 2028. A lot of that means continuing to stay in the news, continuing to energize the Republican base, and that's probably more important to him than seeking middle ground and moderate stances that might be more popular.
Though his numbers have dropped overall, he is still holding strong with Republicans, with over 90% of Florida Republicans viewing him favorably. GOP political consultant Anthony Pedicini says he predicts DeSantis' numbers will trail up in the near future.
I think the governor's actually recovered his numbers from where they could have been during the presidential contest with Donald Trump. I mean, look, on the Republican side of the ticket, I always tell everybody we're like a big family. We can fight, but at the end of the day.
But his status as a presidential candidate also ran may relegate the governor to being a second thought this election cycle. Nova Southeastern University political science professor Charles Zeldin says issues like the abortion and marijuana ballot initiatives are more likely to serve as political drivers for voters than attempts to kneecap DeSantis' policies by attacking legislative seats.
Democrats are going to be coming in to vote for things other than just voting against the governor. And they're going to be voting against Trump. They're going to be voting against abortion. They're going to be voting in favor of marijuana. And Republicans are going to oppose those things, whether DeSantis is leading them or sitting out the election.
The ballot initiatives have been a pivotal part of the messaging from Democrats and President Joe Biden, but their party still has a significant uphill battle to make inroads in the state. The Republican voter registration lead is nearing 900,000 Floridians. Pedicini says he thinks Democrats backing the ballot initiatives to boost their numbers is a gimmick that won't work.
Florida is not in play for the Democrats. It hasn't been in play for some time. I think what's really on the ballot is Joe Biden's blunders with the economy and his blunders with the border. And I think that's what's really on the ballot. I think voters see through the gimmick.
Zeldin thinks Democrats could swing some down ballot races this election cycle and could win on the ballot initiatives. But Florida has next to no chance of going blue in 2024.
I think in the end, like I said, Florida is going to be just swingy enough to break the Democrats' heart.
I'm Tristan Wood.
Environmentalists worry plans to drill near the Apalachicola River system could damage the area's delicate ecosystem. Adrian Andrews reports the concern comes after the state signaled plans to approve an oil drilling permit in an area many say is still recovering from past damage and disasters.
The Florida Department of Environmental Protection has said it plans to approve a permit for a Louisiana company to drill for oil in Calhoun County near the Apalachicola River floodplain.
Nothing is certain as far as when events like this occur and the devastating impacts they have on the community and how hard it is to recover.
That's Cameron Baxley, the outreach director for Apalachicola Riverkeeper, a group that advocates for the health of the river and bay. Baxley worries if things go wrong, oil could pollute the entire river basin.
This area that they're trying to do the drilling at is just a really bad location and a huge risk. You know, oil and rivers just don't mix.
Baxley is speaking from experience. Back in 2010, environmentalists worried oil from the BP Deep Horizon disaster could impact the bay. Those concerns led to over-harvesting that damaged the oyster reefs, a major source of income for many in the area. And the river and bay have taken several other hits, from major storms to a water war between Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. A combination of drought and overdrawing of water from upriver has often left too little water flowing into the bay. Here's former Governor Rick Scott talking about that in 2013.
The water should be flowing down here. It's impacting the Apalachicola Bay area.
Too little water flowing into the bay increased the salinity, which invites predators into the area and further threatens the oyster habitat. Florida wildlife officials say the Apalachicola Bay once produced 90% of the state's oysters. Then in 2020, officials closed the bay to wild oyster harvesting until at least December of 2025, in an attempt to give the ecosystem a chance to recover. The bay has been one of the primary ways families in the area have made their livings. But the riverkeeper's Baxley says it's environmentally important, too.
The Apalachicola River is a rare gem that holds, you know, one of the nation's richest hotspots of biodiversity, and it's one of the last places to see a wild and free landscape. And I'm really grateful to share this place and call it home. And we've got to fight to do everything we can to protect it.
Now, Florida residents have started sending letters to DEP asking for any drilling requests to be denied, and local governments are joining in. At the last Franklin County Commission meeting, Commissioner Ricky Jones says he and other commissioners took up the topic.
By unanimous vote, we agreed to write a letter with my signature as the chair in opposition to that being pursued during the public comment period.
As for this week, DEP has received 800 comments from citizens about the project. Most of those condemn the state for even entertaining the idea. In an interview with WFSU, State Republican Senator Corey Simon blasted the drilling company for, quote, not understanding the impact. Simon, who serves Florida's northern counties, says tampering with Apalachicola Bay and its river systems could directly impact rural counties like Franklin and Calhoun County.
They need to understand that families are struggling in these areas. Both of these counties are fiscally constrained counties. And so we can't have anything at this point that is going to hurt their ability to come back and feed their families.
Simon's frustration comes after he championed a $25 million allocation from the legislature to go toward the upkeep of the Apalachicola River. DEP has yet to officially approve Clearwater's application to start drilling. Meanwhile, more Floridians continue to advocate for the state to deny the request. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Coming up on Capitol Report, it's not yet a law, but a bill allowing people who feel threatened to shoot black bears as advocates and opponents locked in verbal combat.
What this bill would do is actually allow homeowners and others to kind of shoot first and ask questions later.
Jobs are going begging for workers in South Florida. One of the reasons, high housing prices.
That's the toughest thing, you know, for us is where people live, how you like can't afford to live here.
And we'll find the secret to making the so-called golden years healthier and happier. Stay involved, connected, and remain active.
And she was so excited about telling me, guess what I cooked yesterday?
Florida lawmakers have passed a bill that says people won't be penalized for killing bears if they reasonably believe it was necessary to avoid an imminent threat. The measure hasn't been sent to Governor Ron DeSantis yet. Opponents say there are much better ways to manage bears than killing them, and that they'll sue if the bill becomes law. As Margie Menzel reports, there's great passion on both sides of the debate.
Under the bill, people wouldn't be subject to penalties for killing bears if they, quote, reasonably believed that his or her action was necessary to avoid an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury to himself or herself or to another, an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury to a pet, or substantial damage to a dwelling. People who shoot bears would be required to notify the state within 24 hours and show they didn't intentionally place themselves or pets in situations where they needed to kill bears. They wouldn't be allowed to possess or sell bear carcasses after the killings. Representative Jason Schoaf, a Port St. Joe Republican who sponsored the legislation, says it has been sensationalized.
You're allowing Floridians to defend their property and defend their homes and defend their families. There's nothing more American than that, and there's nothing extreme about that. In fact, I would argue that any law that puts an animal's life ahead of the safety and welfare of humans is insane. And we're just correcting that.
Supporters of the measure point to increased incidents of bears venturing into residential communities in Northwest Florida. Some want a sanctioned bear hunt. Critics of the bill say the change will result in more deaths of the once threatened bears. Julie Rathmel, executive director of the conservation organization Audubon Florida, sent a letter to DeSantis saying the bill's language is so vague.
What this bill would do is actually allow homeowners and others to kind of shoot first and ask questions later, which is a scary thing.
Rathmel says large numbers of people are moving to Florida every week, and they're not familiar with black bears.
A lot of folks, when they think of bears, they think of grizzly bears and dangerous brown bears from out west in the Rocky Mountains. Florida black bears are not the same thing. They are generally shy and not dangerous, but they can become a nuisance. And that's why addressing the real issue would help to solve the problem.
She says that means funding solutions to get trash under control. It means education, which includes promoting containers to secure trash that could lure hungry wildlife. Schoaf and others have taken steps to reduce lures to wildlife. The proposed fiscal year 2024-2025 budget includes $683,500 to provide bear-resistance trash containers to Franklin County, a fiscally constrained county south of Tallahassee. Neither the budget nor the bill about shooting bears have been formally sent to DeSantis. The state had about 4,050 bears, according to a 2017 estimate by the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, the most recent available data. The numbers had fallen to between 300 to 500 bears in the 1970s, but the species was able to rebound while listed by the state as threatened. That designation was lifted in 2012 when a new management plan was approved. Franklin County leaders say the bear population has rebounded to such proportions that they're difficult to manage. Here's Sheriff A.J. Smith, who supported Schoaf's bill.
We have bears in cars, we have bears in people's homes, we have bears on their porches, and we have bears coming to the bus stop where kids are. I think we've had a couple of bears attack animals. We have not had, since I've been sheriff, an attack on a person. So we've had a lot of close calls.
Smith says as the bear population has grown, more bears are living where humans do.
I mean, could the county do a better job? Of course they can. But it's about money, too. Everybody doesn't have $300 to buy a bear-proof garbage can or $700 or whatever they cost or the means to secure it. So the appropriation that we hope, that FWC hopes to get and pass on to us, would certainly be welcome to be able to secure more garbage cans.
Franklin County Commission Chair Ricky Jones says about 92% of the county is either state forest or national forest. And bears often come from their habitat looking for food. For instance, in Lanark Village, where a woman had a freezer in a shed behind her house because the house wasn't big enough for it.
And the resident was told that if they got called another time, they were going to arrest her for feeding the bear. Well, it was inside of her shed and inside of her deep freeze. I don't think that's really called feeding the bear, but anyway, there's been issues like that.
But critics of the measure say shooting bears isn't necessary, and neither is the bill. Joe Guthrie is a research fellow at Archbold Biological Station and director of a program called Predator Prey. He says there are black bears in many parts of the country and many communities that deal successfully with human-bear conflict. He advises managing garbage, educating the public, and having direct communication with people about human-wildlife interactions.
There's a lot of expertise out there about how to effectively remove food attractants. And in the bear management world, it's just the, you know, it's just the understanding that if you can deal with your food attractants, you can deal with most of your problem.
Katrina Shaddix is the executive director of Bear Warriors United. She says the nonprofit began in 2015 when a woman who worked at the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission challenged Shaddix to come on a ride-along to a neighborhood where two bears were getting into the garbage and scaring the elderly residents. She then asked Shaddix to help retrofit the containers with straps so the bears couldn't get into them.
The residents are very scared, thinking the bears will knock them over and they'll break a leg. And she said, if you help us secure those trash cans, we don't have to kill those two bears. So I called her in 3 days. I said, we have 60 people ready to volunteer. She goes, that's amazing, but I have bad news. The FWC is not going to pay for the bear straps. And I said, just give me a minute. And it took about 2 days. I did my first GoFundMe, raised over $2,000.
Shaddix says the group has mailed out more than 28,000 straps free to Floridians.
We have saved governments and residents over $1.5 million by not having to buy the expensive bear-proof trash cans, and we've saved countless bear lives and created a great working relationship with the FWC. So when legislation like HB 87 comes up, where they're just going to kill bears after they attract them out of the woods with their trash can, that's especially egregious, and we're going to make sure that bears will not be killed.
Meanwhile, all of them are waiting for the bill and the budget to go to DeSantis. Bill sponsor Schoaf is optimistic.
The governor's office cares about this issue. They are concerned. They've been paying attention. They have offered to assist in any way. I'm hopeful that that will survive it and that we'll be able to get some dollars down there for them to begin this bear-proof garbage can program.
I'm Margie Menzel.
Legislation signed by Governor Ron DeSantis seeks to prevent what he calls indoctrination in teacher training programs. The teacher training bill was one of the most controversial education issues of this year's legislative session. It seeks to prevent identity politics from being included in teacher preparation programs at colleges and universities. The bill includes ties to a 2022 law that restricts the way various race-related concepts can be taught in schools. DeSantis says the measure, which will take effect July 1st, prohibits the indoctrination of prospective teachers.
The legislature on this looked at it and said, we don't want these teacher preparation programs to become captive to someone's ideological agenda.
Opponents of the new law call it an effort to silence educational programs that teach empathy and respect for all. The multi-billion-dollar marine industry in Florida is among those struggling to find skilled workers in a tight job market. We get more on that story from WLRN's Tom Hudson.
Seeking field service technicians with strong mechanical aptitude and experience.
We're currently looking for a senior field engineer.
These are just two of the jobs that a couple of companies in South Florida are trying to fill.
Vibration analysis of rotating machinery.
The ideal candidate would possess a bachelor's degree or master's degree in engineering with 5 to 10+ years experience.
As well as knowledge.
These positions are in the marine industry in Broward County. They're not entry-level jobs, and the companies are looking for people who have some very specific experience.
Independent ability to use state-of-the-art vibration monitoring.
Finding workers, especially skilled workers, is tough in South Florida, which has the lowest unemployment rate of any large metropolitan region in the country. As the job market bounced back from the pandemic-induced recession, the unemployment rate plummeted, with firms soaking up new workers who relocated here. It has led to a historically low jobless rate and companies competing for people. A
lot of resumes coming in lacking experience.
This is Christine Battles. She's the chief administrative officer at Advanced Mechanical Enterprises in Fort Lauderdale. That's the company looking for field service technicians.
A lot of resumes coming in lacking longevity.
The company tests and works on engines and pumps, on yachts, ships, water treatment facilities, and train locomotives. She says they're like a doctor who checks your heart. They check the stability of the machinery.
We hire for character, we'll train for skill.
There were more than 500,000 job openings statewide in February. That's the latest month data is available. And it's the third most of any state in the country. There were more than 500 marine jobs in South Florida listed on recruiting site Indeed.com in April.
I think the biggest challenge to us and the biggest challenge for our growth is really finding that great technical labor force.
Katie Hagen is also in the market looking for workers. Hagen is the H in FHG Marine Engineering. FHG works on diesel engines.
In terms of the workload and the backlog that we have, we could easily be taking on 5 to 10 people.
Hagen says they've been pushing back projects because of the lack of workforce. Now, these marine service jobs are not remote or even hybrid. This work is where the boats and yachts and ships are. And with demand for work greater than capacity, Hagen says FHG has been looking beyond Florida to fill its open jobs.
It's a hard job. I mean, maritime, you know, you're in loud environments, tight environments, you know, high stress, high pressure.
Normally, I would be more surprised, like, why aren't people wanting to move, you know, and come here, you know, from somewhere else, which we had had in the past.
Jimmy Harrison grew up on the water and in the marine industry. He's the second Jimmy to run Frank and Jimmy's Propeller. His dad was the co-founder.
Housing, big problem, you know, huge problem for us. That's the toughest thing, you know, for us is where people live. How you know, I can't afford to live here.
Wages have been going up. Entry-level positions, sweeping the shop floor jobs, as Harrison describes them, start around $15 an hour. The general range for the technician jobs at companies we spoke with ranged from $30 to $50 an hour. That can be over $100,000 a year plus overtime.
My job became raising prices, raising salaries. Next week, raise prices more, raise salaries more. that's been the main thing.
Now, this is known as the wage price spiral, where higher wages propel higher prices to pay for them, propelling higher wages, propelling higher prices. So kind of like water pushed by the propellers Harrison sells. But economists with the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston concluded in January that wage growth, quote, has not been a major driver of an additional increase in inflation. Wages and salaries rose by about 5% overall in South Florida last year. That did not keep pace with inflation, though, which was up 5.7%. It all supports a job market where skilled service workers are in high demand and can command higher pay. Christine Battles at Advanced Mechanical Enterprises in Fort Lauderdale, meanwhile, is welcoming a few new faces.
We have a new welder starting on Friday. We have an office administrator starting on Monday. And we have two interns starting May 13th.
The company still has four other posted job openings. I'm Tom Hudson.
You're listening to Capital Report from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally this week, experts say that staying active and connected with others helps people live longer, happier lives. But that can be tough as we grow older. Therapy may work for some seniors struggling with depression, but WUSF Stephanie Colombini reports researchers in Tampa are studying whether older adults can help each other feel better, too.
Mary Jones was a busy woman. She worked in a medical office and liked to travel and socialize with local women's groups. Then the coronavirus pandemic hit. Jones was in her early 60s and has chronic health conditions.
For me to go from being that person that's active into different programs to being locked in my home, and you know, that fear of COVID, it was very devastating for me.
Jones was depressed and felt helpless until another woman her age suggested she go to this park along the Hillsborough River in Tampa in the spring of 2021. Jones could get some fresh air and stretch her legs and have a relaxing place to read. Coming here once or twice a week was a fairly simple task, but it meant a lot to Jones.
This became, you know, like one of my spots, kind of like my sanctuary where I felt okay and safe.
The woman who told her to go to the park wasn't a friend or family member. Instead, she was a trained coach. The pair met on Zoom weekly for a few months to talk about ways Jones could get active again. It's part of a national research project called Do More, Feel Better. The University of South Florida is conducting it in partnership with researchers in Washington State and New York. Tampa study lead Amber Gum says the program is based off a proven treatment known as behavioral activation.
If you can help someone to schedule and plan and start to do more of those kinds of activities, their depression will lift.
What this program does is train seniors to stand in for licensed therapists to motivate their peers. Gum says older adults face a lot of challenges that can lead to depression. They're more likely to be grieving the deaths of loved ones. They may have physical health problems that limit what they can do, and some struggle to live on fixed incomes. Gum says therapists have the education to respond to those issues, but younger ones may lack the lived experience.
The special ingredient that I think the older adult coach has is been there, done that.
So far, USF has enrolled more than 60 participants and about a dozen coaches. Seniors get assigned at random to either work with a traditional therapist or a peer mentor. Mary Jones worked with a coach. She says their generational bond made it easier to connect.
It really helped because we could talk about some of our aches and pains, and, you know, she understood. And I mean, her being her age, me being my age, we could relate to how things used to be when we was 30 opposed to, you know, 60s.
Carita Wells joined Jones at the park for the interview. Researchers trained the retired attorney to be a coach. She worked with five other clients. Wells says most told her they didn't think they were, quote, sick enough to need therapy. She recalls one woman who didn't realize how much her boredom was affecting her mentally until Wells helped her identify a passion, cooking.
That lady went to town. And she would recite recipes to me almost every day. And she was so excited about telling me, guess what I cooked yesterday?
USF partners with Hillsborough County Aging Services to find clients and coaches. Each pair meets for 9 weeks, and researchers evaluate the results. The study's been underway for more than 4 years. So far, the peer coaching approach seems to be working well. Each of the three research sites still needs to enroll more people to get a better sense of how it compares to therapy. Amber Gum says the next step would be to expand the program to more communities.
There aren't enough mental health professionals, so you can potentially really expand the workforce of people who can deliver an effective intervention to older adults with depression.
Research shows improving seniors' mental health can also slow declines in memory and physical health. And it's not just the clients who benefit. Carita Wells says coaching kept her engaged, and it felt good to help others.
The back and forth with the client was just a real joy.
Before they left the park, Wells and Mary Jones exchanged phone numbers. They say every connection makes a difference. I'm Stephanie Colombini in Tampa.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Thanks also to Tom Hudson and Stephanie Colombini. Technical support for Capitol Report comes from Evan Rossi, and I'm Tom Flanagan. We hope you'll join us again next week on air and online for more reports from the state capitol.
Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.